Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. Let me talk to you for a minute about the wisdom of God. How many people desire to know the wisdom of God? How many of you believe you have the wisdom of God residing on the inside of you already? How many of you know how to access the wisdom of God? How many want to know more about unlocking the godly wisdom in your everyday life? Well, my guest today is Pastor Darius Good, and he's going to be discussing this with us. He is going to share some information that he's elaborated on in detail in his book, Unlocking Godly Wisdom, Solomon's Seven Pillars of Wisdom. Now, Pastor Darius is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center in Hamden, Connecticut. He's the producer and host of the His Good Treasure radio show, which airs weekly on Radio 1400, WNYH 740 AM, and on 101.7 FM. He is the founder of Good Treasure Entertainment. He's also a music producer. Praise God. He's the vice president of Reach the Nations Global Ministries, an instructor and provost at Reach the Nations Kingdom College, and author of this great book, Unlocking Godly Wisdom, Solomon's Seven Pillars of Wisdom. Help me welcome to the program, Pastor Darius Good. Pastor Darius, it is so good to finally talk with you, man. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the program today.
Well, Pastor Robert, I count it an honor to be here, and thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Pastor Darius Good?
I'll try to conduce my story. I have a very interesting journey, but I was born in New Haven, Connecticut in 1977. I'm currently pastoring, but the Lord took me on a different journey than probably a lot of pastors to get there. I was, I guess, around the age of six. My parents were already pastoring. They founded the church, Bible Gospel Center, and they were in need of, I guess, looking ahead, saying we would need musicians. And so my sister and I was chosen to take music lessons. My parents decided to have me take lessons at 6 years old. So they were making a long-term investment. And it just kind of started a passion and love for music. Around the age of 12, I received a prophecy that was very significant to me about the call to ministry. I went into University of New Haven, and I went in as a music major. So I studied music industry, which is the business portion of music, and also communications. I did a dual major. Once I graduated from college, I actually went into the music industry where I was there for about 5 to 6 years. I worked with quite a few platinum recording artists. I was like really in the industry. Mm-hmm. And the very first artist that I had the opportunity to work with was Whitney Houston.
Oh, wow.
And so that was very interesting because I started at the top because mostly you work your way up. Mm-hmm. And here I start at the top and here I'm excited because I'm like, I finally reached the goal that I was shooting for, all my studies, all the time that I've spent, you know, learning the process of production, learning the business. And soon after that was when the Lord says, now let's go a different direction. And he pulled me out of the industry, wanted me to focus on ministry at this time. And of course, I had always thought music was a part of the ministry that he had called me to. And he said, no, that's just a small piece of it. It's not the fullness of what I have for your life. What I did not realize was my dad was about a year or two away from being diagnosed with a brain tumor. So me coming out of the industry allowed me time to be with my dad, getting prepared, not realizing I'm being prepared for ministry. My dad passed in 2006. My mom took leadership of the church. Around this time, I began working in Bridgeport. We started a pre-employment program through their social service business there. And I began working with at-risk youth, which I did for about 12 years. I had about 80% of my kids involved with gang life. Wow. So that brought me into that sort of culture and understanding that background of those individuals. And then in 2013, my mom stepped down as pastor and installed me. And I've been pastoring since 2013. So
praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, this book, we talked a little bit off the air before we started the recording. I just sat down and started reading. I got halfway through it before I even realized I was reading half the book. I mean, it's that great of a book, folks.
Thank you.
You start your book off with a revelation the Lord gave you about the names of the planets.
Yes.
And I thought that was absolutely fascinating. Can you share that as the foundation of our conversation today with our listeners?
Yes. I don't remember the exact date, but the conversation was so impactful that that morning I woke up. I usually just kind of check my phone to see, you know, the time, the dates, et cetera, you know, the weather. Mm-hmm. And I had received an email from a company that was asking these simple quizzes. That particular day, the quiz was about which planet did not have a Greek name. And I had always been a enthusiast of astronomy. And so it was a simple answer to me. I knew it was planet Earth, but I did not expect the Lord to then begin speaking to me. And he said to me, in the explanation of why Earth, well, he began to go through the list. So we have Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and you begin to see the pattern, how they're all named after either Greek gods or, you know, it's always pointing to that Greek mythology.
Right.
And the Lord explained to me, he said that Earth was actually named after a god as well. And of course, I was not making the connection between the two. And of course, he said to me, Earth is known as the third rock from the sun.
Yeah.
And of course, we're all familiar with, you know, Jesus being our rock and that term being used throughout the scriptures. And then he began to explain the difference between Earth and all the other planets. And a lot of this I had studied out. But he began to just push on the fact that Earth is the only planet that has the ability to sustain life. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not just human life, but we got, you know, all the animals and mm-hmm. it's incredible. Just the diversity of life, you know, from insects and whatnot that are a part of our planet that you do not find on any of the other planets.
Right.
And the Lord said to me that he did that to show that this is the only God that has the ability to Amen. Give life and sustain life.
Yeah.
Because throughout that time and era when they began to name the planets, they were named after gods. Mm-hmm. But God said, I wanted to show you that I am the only almighty God. And so there's a scripture out of Jeremiah that talks about the gods that did not create the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lord said. He was using the space as a example to the world that he is the one true God. He is the life giver. And so it's just such an impactful encounter with the Lord. And every now and then he does this where he'll just show up and just reveal things to me. And I'm just always blown away.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes. And usually it's in the form of a question.
It is. Because he wants you to go deeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants you to dig.
I just had that happen to us. It happened to me about 6-8 weeks ago. And it has totally changed the direction that we're going in right now with the ministry. I mean, we're still doing the same things and all that, but it's refocused. You
know? Yes.
And it just starts with a question.
It does.
Why are you
yes.
doing it this way?
Right. I've had a few of those.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Now, what inspired, first, I just want to reemphasize, Earth is named after Jesus. I mean,
yes.
That is so cool. I mean, I never put that together until I read it in your book. That is so cool. Amen. You know, that's why I had to start with that question. Amen. Now, what inspired you to write this book? Why this book? And why is it necessary to release it now?
What inspired? It began with reading the passage in Proverbs that said that wisdom had built her house. And of course, that house caught my attention. And then it talked about that she had hewn out her seven pillars. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things that you read in the scriptures that catches your attention. And I just began to pray about it and say, Lord, I wanted to know what the seven pillars were. What is her house? What is this? What's this depth to wisdom that goes beyond just the book of Proverbs? And that was one of those questions I have that I asked for several years before he just began to talk to me about it. And I was reading through the Proverbs one day, and he pointed out the scriptures to me. He said, those are the seven pillars. And so then I began researching to see if others had written on this topic. And I found a few that dealt with the seven pillars. But as I mentioned in the book, I was never satisfied with their answers because they were scattered throughout the Bible. And I just couldn't believe that, you know, the book of James would have one of the pillars when Solomon wrote this thousands of years earlier. And so with the Lord pointing it out to me, I realized they're all right there in Proverbs. And so I just felt that, you know, it would probably be an interesting topic to put a book together. But I don't do anything unless I get the Lord's leading and his go. And so I then began to ask the Lord if I should move forward and write this. And he told me to go on and write it and began talking to me further. So as I'm writing, it took several years to put it together because yeah. I would wait when I didn't know certain things. I'm like, I need to wait until you begin to explain things to me. Mm-hmm. And so I began to look and I was like, it's not a large topic that many deal with. You see faith, prayer, mm-hmm. A lot of personal experiences as far as writing. But I didn't find too much on godly wisdom. And so I thought it would be an excellent book. I shared it with my church first, and they all just loved it. And I was like, well, maybe then this is the sign that, you know, I have something excellent here I can run with. And so.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, in the book, throughout the book, I mean, well, how can I phrase it? Throughout the Bible, Solomon has been proclaimed as the, quote unquote, wisest man who ever lived.
Yes.
And there's no doubt about it. God blessed him with wisdom, as you indicated in your book and as recorded in the Bible, because he didn't ask God for victory over war or long life or prosperity, etc. But you took the title of your book from what he wrote in Proverbs 9:1, which, and this is the question here, wisdom has built her house.
Yes.
She has hewn out her seven pillars. And I emphasize the word she and her because as I was reading the first sections of your book, I seen these references to she and her, and I was wondering, why is he using, you know, these type of pronouns? Because I always thought of God as, you know, him and
right,
you know. And then I seen the scripture references, praise God. So after Proverbs 9:1, the scripture doesn't, as you said, it doesn't go into what the seven pillars of wisdom are, and we'll get into that a bit, but I want you to tell us, who is the spirit of wisdom? Is it the Holy Spirit?
Well, this is what's very interesting. Growing up, I had always heard ministers simply say, well, wisdom is the Holy Spirit. And as I was reading through the book of Proverbs, I'm like, it just always stood out to me. There's large passages, several chapters, which refer to her as a she or her. She talks about her children. She talks about her house. And of course, we know that Jesus always referred to the Holy Spirit as a he.
Right.
And yeah. So as I began digging, and it's fascinating, it's right there in Proverbs chapter 8, where we actually have an account of the spirit of wisdom being created. And I was thinking, actually, yesterday, as we're preparing for this interview, she, along with Lucifer, might be the only two beings that we have a written account in the scriptures of their creation. So we know with Lucifer, you know, he had the pipes on the inside of him. He was covered in these stones. But Proverbs chapter 8 talks about the creation of the spirit of wisdom. And she talks about how she was there before anything else was created. So she was actually the first being that God created. We know that heaven and earth was created in God's wisdom. So he actually created wisdom first. And then through her, he creates heaven. He creates the earth. And she talks about how she just rejoiced as God is like putting the mountains in place and putting the oceans in place and the foundation of the earth. And then her assignment to humanity of imparting godly wisdom or God's wisdom to us so that we can live successful lives and healthy lives and prosper in many areas. Yeah. And it's so fascinating because I've read Proverbs, I don't know how many times, and yet this stuff never jumped out to me.
Yeah.
Until I began putting this book together.
Yeah, that's what I was experiencing when I was reading your book, because I'd always thought when it talked about that, it was talking about, well, Jesus was with God and seen all these things happening like that. But you referenced the use of the female pronoun because of what the Lord revealed to you about producing.
Yes.
As it concerned angels. But you're not talking about reproducing like having offspring. I think this would be a good foundation for us to start with. Can you explain that part of your book?
Yes, I had struggled because I couldn't understand why God would create female angels or female spirits and male spirits, especially understanding that these are created beings. They do not reproduce. And so I've been, actually, that's one of those areas I prayed for years for revelation and understanding. And I had a close friend of mine, Richard Furlow. He's one of the, he's the founder of the Bible school that I attend. And one day he's just teaching class and he mentions how the Lord explained to him that they have this, the feminine quality because they produce. And that's all he said, but I was able to understand that. I mean, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, that's the answer I've been looking for.
Yeah.
I had, if you read the story or in the New Testament, it talks about the spirit of patience and how she produces maturity. She produces perfection. Let her have her perfect work is what we're told to do. Allow patience to have her perfect work. So once again, you have patience referred to as a her, wisdom referred to as a her. And what they do is they produce things in our life. We know that this, the word of God produces or it accomplishes whatever it was sent to do. And that's Isaiah chapter 11. Mm-hmm. And so God has placed these spirits there to orchestrate things in our lives. As we're relying on him, he has these spirits in place that are over and they govern certain areas of his government, of his business, of his workings. And he allows these beings to just do what they've been designed to do. You think of music writing, because, you know, it's an area that I have a large interest in. There's angels that are assigned to music. There's angels assigned to the anointing. There's angels assigned to prophecy and all these different aspects. The Bible talks about these ministering angels sent forth for the heirs of salvation. And so he has all these beings, the host of heaven, that he's created, and then he's given them their jobs and assignments. And then, you know, if you think about it in the natural, the king doesn't lift a finger to do much of anything. He has people assigned to these positions that handle these things for him.
Yep.
And so we've always looked at Michael the archangel as being the head of God's defense, the head of God's military. And so in many ways, the spirit of wisdom, she seems to be the head of God's wisdom. She's the head of that department.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, somebody listening right now, you know, they might think, I thought godly wisdom meant, you know, like great advice. Does it apply to any area of life or only to the quote unquote churchy things?
It applies to every area of our life. So if you look at the book of Proverbs, he covers, Solomon covers so many different areas. Mm-hmm. And I've learned even in my life, I need wisdom for everything. I do it for little things. You know, if I'm making a purchase, Lord, should I do this or should I wait? I'm always looking for the Lord's leading and guidance. But when I've made large decisions in my life, decisions that will impact people's lives, you know, being in a position of pastor, being on the radio, things of this nature, the information, the revelation that you're disseminating, the ability to govern finances, property, all these different things, we need wisdom in. And I've learned that God's wisdom is available. What is critical, one area I do point to constantly in the book is that the fear of the Lord is key to wisdom. And so maybe we'll get into that at some point. But godly wisdom is needed for everything. Who should I marry? I need wisdom to raise my children. They're not the same. They're all different personalities. I need to know when to push, when to back off, when to hold in love, when to correct. And we just need his wisdom for everything. And I found that his wisdom is there constantly when you've developed the ear to hear his voice. He leads and guides us in so many different areas. Yeah. And so, yes, we need it in every area.
Amen. Amen. Let's get back to these seven pillars. Tell us, what is a pillar?
This is interesting. My first thought when I read that about the pillars, you think of these, the pillars you find in front of government buildings or large, large establishments, things like that. And as I began to dig into it, I realized that's not what they are at all. I was surprised to discover that it's the simplistic way to explain it is it's almost like a checklist that God established that before he gives you his wisdom, it passes through all these seven areas. And the best way I can explain it is if you had a business and you said, well, these are the things that our company stands for. So we stand for excellence. We stand for quality. And there's all these different things that you want your customers to experience when they have encounters with my company. Some companies have really bad customer service, whereas another one is known for great customer service. And all these different areas helps your company flourish or grows. And so the pillars became this checklist that God's established that even if he gives you a simple word like purchase the land, his wisdom has gone through these seven pillars, which means that his word will be established. His word will not fail. His word is not going to last for 1 or 2 years and then the success of it ends. He has a way where when he speaks, his word is established. And so these are the seven areas that God, it's almost like a checklist that he goes through and says, that's direction. That's the best possible answer and solution for this problem. And it's a fascinating checklist as you begin to read through it and realize this is the reason why God's wisdom never fails. This is the reason why Solomon was so successful, because this is what he relied on. And it wasn't the pillars, because I don't want anyone to think that they got to go through this checklist. Is what God does on his end before he gives you the word. And so I've learned to just trust him, because God has given me some very interesting words at times. And I'm like, Lord, that does not make sense. It's the worst timing. The money's not there. You know, and we look at our abilities and where we fall short. And the Lord's like, no, just depend on me. Do what I told you to do. It's going to work. And I've learned after all these years that I'm like, I just listen for his voice and I lock in and just do what he tells me to do.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That is so true. Now, can you share these seven pillars with us, just generally speaking?
I can. The seven pillars are actually found in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. And so you don't find the mentioning of the pillars until chapter 9. But the pillars were actually listed before they talk about our house and the seven pillars. So if you actually go back to Proverbs 8, verse 12, he talks about how I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. He says, I found out knowledge and witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then we have a list of a small glimpse of what the fear of the Lord is. The evil that he hates is pride, arrogance, the evil way, the froward mouth, which really deals with a perverted mouth. He said, these are the things that I hate. And then at verse 14, he says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. And so the seven pillars are prudence, knowledge of witty inventions, the fear of the Lord, counsel, sound wisdom, understanding and strength. Those are your seven pillars.
Amen. 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 And we know that, you know, godly wisdom is all encompassing. I mean, he created all things, in him all things exist, etc. But you make a distinction, and rightly so, between man's wisdom and godly wisdom. Can you explain that for us?
Yes. So I think it's in the book of James. He talks about the wisdom from above, which talks about or points to wisdom that comes from God. And then James uses the term in wisdom not from above. So that's anything that does not come from God, which would include man. And it would also include demonic wisdom, because there is a wisdom that comes from below that affects man as well. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to stress the point that godly wisdom is not good advice. It's not great counsel from individuals. But it's literally hearing the Lord speak either through people or through other things and ways or methods and way God speaks. And so I think too often what we've done is we've sought out counsel. We've prayed and said, Lord, I need wisdom. And then somebody will come and say, hey, why don't you X, Y, and Z? But that doesn't necessarily mean that it came from God. And so I was I've been passionate about the voice of God, of being able to hear his voice no matter how he speaks. And I stress the importance of hearing him no matter who's sharing the information, because you can have an ungodly person come and give you something from the Lord and you don't even realize that the Lord is speaking through them. Yeah. And so I wanted to develop that in my walk with the Lord, to hear him at all times. So godly wisdom comes from God. He speaks and that wisdom comes from him. Mm-hmm. And that's what separates godly wisdom from human wisdom, from human reasoning, from wisdom expertise, human expertise. I found that godly wisdom is a whole different encounter, yeah, so to speak. Amen. So one example would be Jacob. We're all familiar with the story of Jacob, how Laban gave him these awful cattle and And basically, he was just taking advantage of Jacob once again. And God gave him the wisdom to allow those cattle to breed and produce quality cattle. And that passage is just is fascinating, because that was not human wisdom. No, I mean, even if you try to reduplicate what Jacob did, it probably won't work.
Yeah,
because it was based on the word of the Lord spoken to him. And so because he did what God instructed him to do, it produced. Just like if you go and dunk yourself in the Jordan River, Naaman was the one that received the healing of his skin. But that was the word of the Lord. That was the wisdom of God to go and dunk yourself seven times. If anyone else went and did that, they wouldn't have gotten healed, because that river did not contain healing attributes or qualities. But it's connected to the word that's given by God. If you do this, then I will do that.
Yep.
And that's what the godly wisdom is. If you just trust him, follow his voice, then it produces what he promises.
Amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of my interview with Pastor Darius Good, as we're discussing his book, Unlocking Godly Wisdom, Solomon's Seven Pillars of Wisdom. I just know deep in my spirit that you are getting a lot of great information from Pastor Darius today. Now, for me personally, I'll tell you right now, out of today's interview, I got several little nuggets that they're really going to impact my preaching as we go forward. I know they will. For me especially, I love the part about how the earth was actually named for Jesus. Praise God. And then there was the part about how God uses in the Bible the female pronoun for wisdom. Oh man, that was a great nugget right there. I'm telling you, praise God, folks. You need to get this great book. We're just going over the highlights in this interview, but you have to get Pastor Darius Good's book, Unlocking Godly Wisdom, Solomon's Seven Pillars of Wisdom, in order for you to get a better understanding. Now, just go down to the show notes, order your copy today. Click the link. Do it right now while you're thinking about it. Then be sure to come back next time as we continue our discussion with Pastor Darius Good. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.